in a series now, trying to figure out some things what the Lord is doing. He's doing some mighty things around here, amazing things. And the series, just because I'm happened to calling it The Problem with Religion. Religion always gets in the way. It is so tarnished. There's a big difference between religion and following Jesus. And he was constantly stalked and hunted by the religious. Paul and the apostles were constantly hunted and stalked and killed by the religious. And it can be a poison. There is in the Bible a verse that talks about pure and undefiled religion before the Lord. That's the only real verse that has anything good to say about it, if it's pure and undefiled. But for us, we're talking about the problem with religion, and that is in comparison to us following Christ, living Christ, living like Christ. Here's today's. The problem with religion, it lacks genuine humility. Problem with religion, it lacks genuine humility. Oh, there's some great displays. There's some great displays of piety. There's some great displays of humility. But religion lacks genuine Christ-like humility. So you think to yourself, well, okay, he's going to preach on humility today. And typically this is what we think. Humility is this character quality in a person that kind of, it's either there or it's not. It's kind of a natural thing, or it's just not there. Humility is kind of this thing, and if you say you're humble, you're probably not. And it really just means if you're humble, you get along well with others. You share your toys. You play well with others. Humility, you know, it's better to be around a person who's humble, but okay, that's humility. Maybe, probably not. And that's the issue. True humility, as Jesus, as the Bible calls it, is something different. Something very different. We may not even understand what humility is. That's the whole problem. And here's a bigger problem for us. In James, he very clearly says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I mean, it's that big. It's that important. And we might not even know what it is. We might not even understand it. You may think it's not even significant. Well, let me tell you this. Let me share this with you. If you are not genuinely humble like Christ, forget about your prayers being answered. It's not going to happen. He doesn't hear your prayers. If you're not genuinely Christ-like, humble, no grace, you might find yourself in an opposition toward God. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. You might put on the best Christmas play this county's ever seen. You might put on the best Easter program this county's ever seen. You might fast and pray and go to church 6 times a week and give big loads of cash and be in opposition to God. You may be religious, but not following in true, genuine, Christ-like humility. You certainly won't be growing in Christ-likeness. You certainly won't be refreshed and enjoying and delighting in Christ. You might be proud and don't even know it. And that's the problem surrounding this issue of humility. What really is it? And do we even understand it? But it is critically important. And I'm going to tell you, please listen, it is critically important for us right now where we're at and what's going on in this family of believers. It is critically important that you and I know and understand this humility, that our prayers will be answered, that He will be with us, that He will constantly lead us, that He will refresh us and give us new life, fresh new branches of growth. It's critically important for us. Now, here's the good part for you. When I unpack this thing, I think you're going to say, boy, we're on a good track. We are moving in the right direction. And God is starting to water the flowers here. We are becoming more and more like a well-watered garden here. I think Matt's on to something when he says, our soil is now prepared to receive the showers of blessing and grace. And he's starting to water the garden. We're not there. We have a ways to go. And it's something that's going to be maintained. A garden is maintained. Keeps growing when it's maintained. So we're going to need to do all that. But first, we need to understand this position of humility before God, that He looks down and is pleased to answer our prayers, pleased to lead us, pleased to cause us to grow. We need to look at that. Let's begin in Philippians chapter 2. Mark will have references for you, a couple scriptures, but most of them are going to be references. Open the Bible, get your phone out, iPad, whatever you got. Philippians chapter 2, let's see what Christ is showing us about humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, have the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, that means be in unity, in love, and in spirit. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Okay, there's humility. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped and held on to, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God. Great blessings from the great humility of Jesus. Didn't hang on to it. Had a position in heaven. Was Jesus the Son of God in heaven, the exalted one? Didn't think, got to hang on to this. This is mine. You're not taking it. This is mine. Let go of it. Came to earth, took on the form of a servant, made like a man, humbled himself. Now, that's a key phrase. He humbled himself. It's not just natural. It's just not some character quality that happens to kind of soak into us. We actually humble ourselves. He humbled himself, seeing others' interests and needs more important than his life here, he died on a cross for us. He saw you and I. We had a sin need, a sin problem. He saw us as more important than his physical comfort and life, and he died on the cross for us. It's not all he did. He had an entire life of servanthood. His entire life was of humbling and healing and feeding and helping and nurturing and teaching and caring for. His entire life showed us that God, the Son of God, humbled himself and came down here and was found walking amongst us and reaching out and touching lepers and healing people the whole time. It's one example. He humbled himself, and it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have his mind. And share it. All of you have it and share it. Have the mind of Jesus. If you don't, you're not humble. Not this way. Not Jesus' way. I mean, you've humility of your own creation, that don't count. I'm talking about the humility of Jesus Christ. And he says that's how you can be humble. Humble yourselves and become like me. Consider others' interests more important than your own. Be like Christ. Now, if you don't like the sound of that, there's a good reason. And some of you don't. So let's just face it. Some of you do and some of us don't. And we're working on you, man. We're still working on you. I'm not giving up on you. I'm working on you. Considering others more important than myself. If you don't like that, you don't like the thought of surrendering all my effort, all my goods, you don't like the sharing your toys with others. You don't like, boy, I just can't go there. If you don't like that, there's a good reason why you don't. And it's probably because you're wise and you're very understanding of how this world really works. You're not stupid. You're wise. You're a wise person. You know how this world really works. And if you were to do that, you'd really find yourself in a difficult, strange, different position in life. And so you are very wise. And you're very understanding, very perceptive of how this world works. And you don't like the thought of surrendering yourself for the good of others. Because nobody gets anywhere doing that. You end up in the poorhouse. You end up broke. And those people aren't helped. So that's not how this world works. You're very wise and you're very perceptive. And the truth of Christ has been hidden from you because your heart is locked cold. The door is slammed shut. And you're very wise and perceptive of how this world works. And he says, I'm going to hide it from you. You'll never know. Until you open that cold, hard heart, you'll never know the true humility and love of Christ. That's what the scripture says. Don't shoot the messenger. Matthew chapter 11 is where you should turn. And I'll tell you, I agree with you. I've said that myself. I've said it. The world doesn't work that way. You're not helping anybody by giving up of yourself, by sharing of yourself, by sacrificing of yourself, and yet we claim to follow Jesus. How is that going to happen? I'm wise and understanding. I know how this world works. I'm not going to do that. Could I ask you a question real just, since when do we sway with this world? Since when do we go by how the world works? We're crazy, remember? I'm crazy for God, is what Paul said. You look at me and say I'm crazy because I flow against this world. I don't go by how it works. Since when
do we operate according to this pattern of life? Since when don't we follow Christ and say, is that what you want? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. And you're going to be with me. You're going to answer my prayers. You're going to constantly lead me. You're going to refresh and water me. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, and it's all going to be added unto me. Since when do we know how this world really works? Who gives a rip, right? Are you with me? Who gives a crap how this world works? Don't we walk with Jesus? They killed him. It's been hidden from you. Because you've taken that big steel cold door of your heart and slammed it shut and said, I will not let go of my stuff and everything I've worked for. I'm not about to share it with that loser over there and that loser over there and that loser over there. I'm not about to do that. I'm not about to touch that leper. And you're not about to know Jesus Christ. I will tell you that. You're not about. He's going to hide it from you. He's not going to pull back the curtain and show you his glory. Because you're not humble. You're proud. You're very proud of what you've done and accomplished and learned and built through that system right there out that window. But since when is that our true north out there and not that right there? And not that right there. Since when is that not our guide? Ask yourself right now, that is my guide or it is not. That is out there. And if that is out there, you better get on your knees and humble yourself before the Lord. And he's going to tell you, give me your checkbook. Give me your clothes closet. Give me the keys to your car. Give me your shoes. Give me your kids. And follow me. By the way, I don't have a place to lay my head. The foxes do and the birds do, but I don't. But follow me. See, we don't even know what humility really is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. Anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah, he might have hidden these things from you because you're wise and understanding, and he's revealed them to children, to people with childlike faith and understanding. And you're way too wise and perceptive of how this world works for that. So he's hidden them from you. And this verse that we all seem to know so well. Come to me, all you who labor and you're heavy laden. You come to me. Life is hard for you, you're laboring. That's what this means. Life is hard and you're heavy laden. The pressures and the loads on you, it's heavy. Come and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What's that mean? Take my yoke upon you. You got yoke up there, Mark? There it is. Yoke really means a connector or a coupling. So when someone is yoked, they're connected or coupled with someone. That's what yoke is. We see it's this big wooden thing with a loop on it and a cow sticks his head in it.
That's a coupler. It attaches him. It couples him with another, possibly another cattle, and they're connected to a person driving and steering. It's a connecting, coupling device. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. You be coupled to me. You be connected to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Lowly in heart is the Greek word humbled. James 4:6, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself. He opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Same exact word right here. Jesus says, be connected, be coupled to me. Let me and you plow together. Let me lead you. I'm meek and I'm humble. And I'll give you rest in your soul. Learn this from me. Learn from me. Learn about my meekness. Learn about my humility. Those who are heavy laden, pressured, you've got so much on your mind and heart. Life is weighing heavy on you. I want to give you rest. I want to lighten that load for you. And give you rest in your soul where you need it most. Plow with me. Come to me. Connect to me and learn. Learn Jesus. Those of you who are, you just know better. That is not how this is going, and it's not how I'm going. I have a 401k, and I have made it, and I'm successful, and I'm not stupid, and you're crazy if you think I'm going to lay down my life to help those losers. It's hidden from you. It's hidden from you. Christ will never, never pull back the curtain on that hard heart. Enjoy your religious life. You'll just never follow and be intimate with Jesus Christ. But enjoy your religion. Have a nice service. We'll try and keep the temperature just right in here for you. But you'll never know that. And let's not fool ourselves. You may not even be a believer. Why would I say such a thing? Well, think with me. Matthew 25, he tells a story of sheep and goats. Does he not? Do you know that? Sheep and goats? When Jesus comes back, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. You know that story. And he puts the sheep there and the goats there. He separates them. And one goes to eternal damnation. One goes into the kingdom. The sheep and goats. How did he separate those sheep and goats? You fed me, you didn't. That's it. You clothed me, you didn't. Whoa. I thought it was like murders, adulterers, high-profile scandals there. People with everyday nickel-dime sins, you're a pretty nice person, actually. You come over here. That's what we think, right? I haven't murdered anybody. Bank robbers, adulterers, nasty people in general. You people, like cornerstone people, you're just everyday kind of nice, polite. You're okay. You're not perfect, but hey, there's a lot worse than you. Sheep, goats, right? Isn't that how he does it? That's it. That's how he does it. You came to church every Sunday. You're over here. And you wicked people are over here. That's it. Oh, you better read Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. You came to me. You helped me. You over here. When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? What are you talking about? When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. You didn't feed me. I was standing right there in front of you. You didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You seen I was ridiculously poorly clothed. I was out of my mind with problems and troubles. You walked by and said, have a nice day. You over there. When did we ever walk past you, Jesus? When did we ever not clothe you? When did we ever not feed you? I don't even recall seeing you. When you walked past the least of these, you walked past me. Over there, eternal damnation. That's how he separates the sheep from the goats. That's the sign of those who follow him, who he's revealed himself to. Those who haven't, he's hidden it from them. They have slammed the door of their heart closed. He says, nope. You fed me, you didn't. You know it. You know the truth. You've got my grace. You've slammed the door of your heart closed. You walk past people in need all the time to go shopping again, to buy a bigger, more, better, shinier, beautiful, to add to your collection. You walk past people half naked on the street. You over there. And if you don't get it, it's because I've hidden it from you, because you have slammed that big, steel, cold, ice-cold refrigerator door of a heart shut. I'm just reading you scripture. That's all. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The one you say you follow, the one who couldn't quit healing and feeding and touching the lepers and the adulterers and the demon possessed, the one who kept walking up to them and touching them, and the people kept saying, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're touching? He kept doing it. And John said, if we wrote books of everything he did and everybody he touched, you couldn't fill it. You just wouldn't have room. Because he just kept doing it. Is that your Lord? That's humility. That's the humility of Christ. It's not our humility. It's the humility of Christ that we have to have, because God opposes the humility of this life that we know, that we call humility. It's a false humility. It's not a real humility. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. See, Terry, you are getting awful loud. Well, it's absolutely my heart's passion and desire for this group of believers to know the true humility. For us to pray and God hears us and God enjoys hearing our prayers. For us to be continually led and fed by him. For us to be a well-watered garden of people, displaying his glory. It's critically important for us right now that we have this. Isaiah chapter 58, look at verses 1 through 5 that Mark has here. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. I've been trumpeting. Listen what happens in verse 2. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. I mean, they act just like they really
walk in my judgments and in my righteousness. They do the same things. It's as if they really were a bunch of people who loved me. They act just like that. They ask of me righteous judgments, and they delight to draw near to God. Verse 3, they say this, why have we fasted and you don't see it? You see it not. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, to spread his sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? You think this is what I want? You think this is humility? You think this great show, this day you keep every year, you think this is humility? When on this day you act like every other day, you still treat each other poorly, you still seek your own pleasure, you still do your own business, you still do your own thing, but you, I'll tell you, you put the best sackcloth and ashes show on display I've ever seen. I mean, that is pretty amazing. That material you got this year for the sackcloth and ash display, that was amazing stuff. And the lights you had shining on that really made it look good. I mean, you that was powerful. But unfortunately, I looked into your heart and it wasn't there. And you had the gall to look up to me and go, hey, we're fasting and humbling ourselves. You're not paying attention. That's humility. What humility does he want? Verse 6. It's not up there. Open your Bible. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free permanently, and to break every yoke. You know what yoke this is? This is the yoke of wickedness. This is the yoke of bondage, of pain and suffering. This is the yoke of hard times. This is the yoke of suffering and trouble in this life. And it says, break those yokes. Undo the straps that are holding these people back. Verse 7. The fast, the humility that I want is in verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, and when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from him? It might just be Jesus. It might just be Jesus sitting there, starving and hungry. That's the fast. That's the humility I want you to have. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. When you humble yourself by doing this, instead of putting on a dynamite Easter program, a magnificent Christmas play. And man, was that service down at your church amazing. It's not what Christ-like humility is about in any way, shape, or form. The good news is we are beginning to do that. We are getting the hang of it. He has come in and is moving here and is living here, and his spirit is alive here and awakening hearts here, and you are starting to do this.
over 50-some people Wednesday night. 30 of them were community neighbors and people that came in just for the meal. 4 or 5 stayed. A few came forward in church and got saved last Sunday. He's starting to water your garden. He's starting to refresh you. He's looking down on you, and listen to what this says. Verse 9, then you will call and the Lord will answer, and you will cry and He will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, I won't touch that leper over there. I wouldn't give her a hug. I wouldn't minister to her. She was the last person on earth, I wouldn't give my stuff. I wouldn't share my bread with that mess. You think I'm giving up my time for that mess? They shot themselves in the foot. I know how this world works. Get up and get a job. They need some help. They need some help. You take that yoke away and that pointing of the finger, maybe your hand's not out, but your heart is, and that big, cold steel door is slammed shut. You get rid of that. Find the humility of Christ instead of your own pride. And maybe He'll reveal Himself to you, and you can become a part of this family that is starting to move and feed and care for and touch the lepers and the cancerous. Verse 10, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will be as the noonday. And listen to this, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water that waters never fail, and your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. You thought I was just winging it. Your prayers will be answered when you have that humility, when you're breaking the people's yokes that are holding them down, when you're feeding them, when you're clothing them. You're probably feeding and clothing Jesus, and He's going to separate us one day. Because of that, we're starting to do it here. Some of you got that door pretty closed, pretty tight. You're thinking about it, but you have a lot of stuff. You have a lot to lose. And your time is precious to you. Maybe more precious than Jesus. And you just can't do it right now. And He's hiding from you. And your prayers, you're right, they are. They're bouncing off the ceiling. Doink, doink, doink. It just feels like He's not hearing me. He's not. But for those of us that are doing it, and I am so proud of the progress we have made as a congregation, I am seeing people who wouldn't have done it 6 months or a year ago. I am seeing you do it. I am seeing people hug people, love people, greet people, make them feel welcome, care about people here. I'm seeing it happen. And you cry out to your Lord and He says, here I am. What do you need? I've got the watering can and I'm getting ready to water your garden. What do you want? I'm guiding you continually now. You know that, don't you? I'm guiding you continually. I'm with you. I know you don't know where it's going. I know it seems dark in that alley. I'm with you. I'm here. I've got your rear guard, and your righteousness for me is in your front, and I've got your back, and we're going to go. I'm with you. Because, man, I am seeing you humble yourself. Feed people and clothe people and touch the leprous and the cancerous and the sinful. And you're helping them. You're trying.
You're breaking their yoke. They need help. You're working your best. We need that. And we're starting to do it. That's the good thing. I'm not preaching to a congregation who is clueless. I'm preaching to a bunch of people who are starting to get it. That's cool. That makes a pastor's heart swell. My people are getting this. Our people we're doing this. We're starting to do this. We're going somewhere and God is just going to pull back the curtain. I don't know how much we're going to help other people, but for us, we're going to see Jesus Christ. He's going to holler, "Here I am." Verse 12 has to be, to me, the most beautiful verse. "And your ancient ruins will be rebuilt." Those things that have been torn down in your life, those ancient, beautiful ruins, it's going to be rebuilt. "And you will raise up foundations of many generations." We got many generations in here this morning. There's a couple there wrestling with Amanda, and there's Amanda, and we got some older people, and we got some older people. We got many generations here this morning. He says, you're going to raise up foundations. You're going to plant foundations under generations of people. When you humble yourself like this, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm going to water your garden. You're going to be a repairer and a restorer. Look what it says. "You'll be called a repairer of the breach, a repairer of the broken, and the restorer of streets to dwell in." That means streets for homes to dwell on. You humble yourself before me like this, and you see what I do for you. You see if I don't water your garden. You see if you don't cry out to me, and I'm, bam, there. I'll lead you continually. You're not going to lose anything, are you? Are you really going to lose? What are you going to lose? What do you got that you're going to lose? That I'm not going to satisfy your desire in scorched places. Places in such a severe drought, there is nothing that grows there except in your yard. How's come everybody's yard is brown, hard, dry, and you've got green grass and bushes and flowers? Because I'm going to water your desire in scorched places. I'm with you. And your heart will be with me, and you'll humble yourself just like Jesus. And they're going to call that little church down there, that little tiny church, rebuilders, repairs, restorers, raising up foundations of many generations. That little church. How are they doing it? You're doing it. You're just starting to do it. We're in the first couple innings. Man. It's a 9-inning game. You ever watch a baseball game? They go on forever, don't they? It's cool, though. We're just in the first couple innings. We're just getting started. Some of you are just getting the hang of this thing. You're just starting to roll, man. You're starting to feel it. You're starting to get it. You're starting to love into it. He says, you have no idea the home runs you're going to hit. And they're going to call you repairers and restorers, rebuilders of this community, of people's lives and of families. But you got to open that cold, hard door. You got to take your fingers off your stuff, all you've done, all your great wisdom of this world, and trust me. Good time for us to really search our souls this morning. Is that your Lord? That's your Lord? That guy that hung on that cross?
Or is it your banker? Is it your real estate agent? What's your Lord? Jesus can never replace what you got. You got that much? Is it that precious to you? You wouldn't give it to Jesus? He says, you walked by me and you never fed me. You saw me sitting there without clothes and you curled up your nose and said, get a job. I want to show myself to you, but you just won't let me. You got to open the door. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your Spirit that is moving here, and you are teaching us how to be Jesus. I am so thankful, Lord. We are already moving. We have so far to go, but you are with us. You are with us. Lord, thank you for the hearts and lives, for my heart that's changing. It seems like daily my heart is changing. Yours. Mine. Lord, we want to take your yoke upon us and learn from you. By your grace, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Teach us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.